Okay, so we started a new topic last week, and it's called God Wants to Perform It. It was a great talk, and last week we asked the question, what do you see? So it's online. If you've not listened to it and you weren't able to be here, then just, you know, go into our website and just click on sermons, and it'll be the latest one in 2024. So what we said last week was God asked Jeremiah a question, and he said to Jeremiah, what do you see? That was the question. And he's asking us the same question. What do you see? What do you see for yourself? What do you see for your life? What do you see in your situation? Because God wants to perform his word, but we must see it happening. There's no point in God saying to me, Sandra, I want you to be a teacher. I want you to be a teacher. I want you to be a teacher. But I say, oh, there's no way I could be a teacher. I'm not able to be a teacher. So if I keep speaking the negatives, God's not able to perform it, you see? So he's asking us what we see. And then we said last week, God is ready and waiting to perform whatever we can see him doing for us. All right, so this week the question is, what do you hear? What do you hear? In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear the word of God, faith should rise up on the inside of us to believe for it. You know, if we're struggling in whatever area, when we get the word of God on it, we can stand on it. It's like a firm foundation. So I want us to note that if faith comes by hearing God, then the opposite is also true, that unbelief and doubt on the inside of us come by hearing the enemy. If God's saying, you can do this, I've got good things for you, but on the inside that little voice is saying, nah, nothing good's going to happen for you. Which one are we hearing? We've got to decide which voice we're going to listen to. You know, it's almost like that little cartoon where you've got the little angel on one shoulder and something like a little red demon on the other. And one's whispering the good things and one's whispering all the negatives. And you need to decide which inner voice we're going to listen to. So what do you hear? Do we hear the good things that God has for us, or do we hear the lies of the enemy and all of the negatives? So I want to go to a scripture in the Old Testament, and it's Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to start at verse 1. And most of us know this scripture. It's a lovely one, and it's even made into a song, but you'll be very grateful today I'm not going to sing it. Right? I'm not going to burst into song, we're just going to read it. So Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Great scripture. That's just the first part of it. So God shows Ezekiel a valley that is chock-a-block dry bones. And the dry bones, we're told later on, represented Israel. That's who the dry bones represented. God's people were spiritually dry. So here is my first question. How are you doing spiritually? Are you feeling dry? Do you waken up in a dry, dead valley each day when you open your eyes? Because that is not God's will for any of us. He doesn't want you to feel dry or dead or half dead. Ezekiel was told to prophesy. Now, prophesying simply means to speak forth, to speak out what you see, to speak out what's going to happen. And then he says in plain English in verse 4, he says, say to them, just in case prophesy wasn't enough, prophesy, Ezekiel, say to them, come on, this is what I want you to do. So why did God want Ezekiel to speak? Why not just write them a little letter? Send them a text, Ezekiel. Leave a message on their answer phone. You know, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Why did he want him to speak it out? He wanted him to speak it so the dry bones could hear God. So they could hear. So they could hear the word of God. So they could hear what God wanted to say. They're lying there. They're not just half dead. They're dead. They're lying in this valley, these very dry bones. And God says, I need them to hear. If I'm going to perform it, they need to be able to hear it. So he says, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What are you hearing? What are you hearing when you before you open your eyes in the morning? Are you hearing, oh no, here we go again? Are you hearing, this is useless, this is worthless? What is your hearing? Even if we're just trundling away at work and we've got to just keep doing this for the next so many years until we retire, there needs to be a purpose in it. What are we hearing? Are we hearing who God wants us to speak to that day? Are we hearing this person have been really, really cranky at work, but just maybe they've got a problem? You know, just maybe there's something going wrong in their house, in their marriage, with their children. We need to be hearing what God wants to say. So God's asking them, what do you hear? And he's asking us the exact same question on a daily basis. What do we hear? What is our self-image? What's our image of God? God doesn't love me. God's overlooked me. What is it we're hearing about ourselves? What is it we're hearing about God? Has something else got our attention? Are we letting the circumstances speak to us? And go, well, let's look at the circumstances I'm in, Sandra. This is never going to happen for me. Well, if that's what you're hearing, what is it we're hearing? Because circumstances will speak. Circumstances will scream, your prayer didn't work. God doesn't love you. He loves the other people in church, but he doesn't love you. He's forgotten about you. And the situation that you're in will never change. The enemy loves the always and never lie. It will always be like this. It will never change. Nothing good will ever happen. Is that what we're hearing? Or are we hearing the promises of God that he wants to perform for us? We need to kick to the curb the lies of the enemy. So here's my first revelation. Don't let the circumstances speak louder than the word of God. Don't let them shout at you louder than the word of God. Because the circumstances might say, Sandra, this is never going to happen. You've just had the doctor's report, and they're saying it's got worse. It's never going to happen. What am I going to hear? By his wounds I am healed. What is it that I'm listening to? This same prophecy, I believe, is for us today. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Because at any point we can waken up and feel that we're dry. God's saying, listen to me, hear my voice. Don't hear what the doctor said. Don't hear what that person said to you, that really negative person. Hear what God's got to say about it. In other words, listen to God. Hear him and him only. Repeat his word until it sinks in and becomes a reality and you really believe it. You've really heard from God. You know, we can hear something at this level and it pops into our mind and we think, well, I know that scripture. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whatever the scripture is. But has it sunk into your heart? That even if it had just been you, Jesus would still have died for you. We need it to sink down to that deeper level. So we've got two choices. Anyone want to know what the two choices are? That all you've got, the only choice you've got today, you can go 50-50, you're not allowed to phone a friend or ask the audience, okay? There's only two choices. Here's what they are. Anyone want to hear them? Okay. Either we speak to the dry bones, or the dry bones will speak to us. That's the only two choices. Either we need to tell them, this is what's in me, this is what I've got. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have. Do you know what you have this morning? Do you know that you have the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of us by his Holy Spirit? We need to know what we have because there's only two choices. Or the circumstances will tell us it's a waste of time. They'll tell us our situation is useless, there's no hope, and it is totally dry. When Ezekiel entered this valley, it was dry, dead, and there was no hope. But then they heard the word of the Lord, and everything began to change. You know, when the doctor tells us we're sick, we need to hear what God said. By his wounds, I have been healed. We need to speak it out until we really hear it. You know, even a parrot, I heard this recently, even a parrot could be taught to repeat the Bible. But it won't do the parrot any good unless the parrot believes it, unless the parrot can hear it and let it sink into its heart. We need to know that we know that we know that God is wanting to perform his word. He's waiting to perform it. We need to hear it and believe it. Then speak God's word over our dry or dead area in our life and see it come to life. You know, a bank statement can speak to you. You open up your bank statement, and if it's in the black, you're okay. If it's in the red, it will speak to you. It will either tell you you're in credit or you're in debt and you're in trouble and you don't have enough money to pay your bills. The bank balance will speak to you. Lots of things speak to us in our life. The doctor's report will speak to you. But we can speak back to it. We can speak back to that lack of finances in our bank balance. We can say, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You don't need to be rich because your dad's rich. Okay? We've got a rich Father in heaven and we can go to him with every problem. Either we speak to the dry bones or they will speak to us and it will not be good news. It never is. Okay, they're in a hopeless valley. So here's my revelation today. I think it's my first one. Here's my revelation. What you hear is what you speak. So be careful with what you're hearing. Be very careful with what you're hearing. Just watching TV all the time and drivel all the time, then all we're hearing is rubbish. We're not hearing something to build ourselves up. Our future in God is amazing. It's one that's filled with life, and it's not meant to be filled with dry bones, so don't listen to them. I'm going to finish the second part of the story now, and this bit is so amazing, I might just break into song. I might do a wee song and dance up here because it's so exciting. So we're back in Ezekiel 37, and we're picking it up at verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel, and they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone, and we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, verse 14, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Doesn't it want to make you just get up and do a wee jig? It's such an amazing scripture. God repeatedly tells Ezekiel, prophesy, prophesy, Ezekiel, prophesy, speak it out. Then in verse 9, he says, say to it. Then in verse 12, he says, say to them. Why? Why does he keep repeating it? Prophesy, prophesy, say to it, say to them. Because you need to say it until you're listening to it, until you hear it. Once you've heard it and it's gone right into your heart, you know that you know it. In other words, listen to God. Hear his thoughts on the matter, not the circumstances. God wants us to hear what he is saying so we can speak what he's saying. So here's another question today. What words are we speaking over our dry bones, over our life, over our future? Because whatever we're speaking, that's what we're hearing. That's what we're hearing. And we'll just go further and further down into a wee pit of self-pity or depression if all we're hearing is negative, because death and life are in the power of every word we speak or hear. Because once we've spoken it, we hear it. You know, Proverbs 21:18. So are we hearing death or life? Because they will both affect our bones. They're both going to affect the valley. So you've got a valley in front of you that's not looking too crash hot, and it's a bit dry there and a bit shriveled up. Both what we hear and what we speak will affect that valley. So verse 10 there said, I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life. They came to life because they heard the word of the Lord. That's what brought them to life. Ezekiel spoke out what God told him. He spoke life, and the dead were raised. I mean, these weren't just dead, they were deader than dead. I don't know how dead you need to get to be a dry bone, but they were pretty dead. Even if your situation seems dead, looks dead, and smells dead, you know, like your husband's socks, even if it looks like that, let it hear life. Let it hear. How? How do we let it hear? By speaking life. You know, it is not rocket science. If we want our dry bones to hear life, we need to speak life. We need to speak good things over our own situation. Our words have the power to bring dead things back to life, but the dead need to hear them. So what are our bones hearing? What has our situation been hearing? Has it been hearing our complaining and our grumbling and our pity party? Or has it been hearing the word of the Lord? You know, what are we speaking over it, folks? I want to look at just a couple of stories in the New Testament. Matthew 9 and verse 20. Again, you'll all know this one. This is when Jesus is in the middle of it. It said a huge crowd. There might have been thousands of people all pressing in on Jesus. He was just surrounded by people. And this is what it says about this poor woman's journey. She was really sick. Matthew 9, verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Okay, so I've just described the scene. Imagine thousands of people all jammed in around Jesus. No one can get near him. And this poor woman who has been sick for 12 years, just makes a decision that she's going to somehow crawl through the crowd and reach through and touch the hem of his garment, okay? So first of all, she'd been ill for 12 years. I mean, it's not nice if you're even ill for 12 days, but 12 years, year in and year out, in suffering, in pain, she was seriously ill. This was not just a head cold or man flu, okay? She was seriously ill. It says in another version, like read more about it, it says she spent all her money on doctors, but there was no cure, and she even grew worse. So over the 12 years, her condition deteriorated, and she got worse and worse. But then she had a breakthrough. She had a breakthrough, and I'm so excited about her breakthrough. So do you want to know what her breakthrough was? Her breakthrough is right there in verse 21. She said to herself. She begins to prophesy over her own life. She begins to say to it. She begins to say to the situation. She begins to say to the sickness. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of this man of God, I will be healed. And as soon as she spoke it, she spoke out what she needed to hear. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment and I am going to be healed. She needed to speak out what she needed to hear. If you need to hear it, start to speak it. She heard the word of the Lord and then her dry bones came to life and she was instantly healed. Here's another example and it's in Matthew 8 and verse 8. This is about a Roman centurion. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed him, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So here's Jesus, he's busy as usual, still lots of people round him, maybe not thousands, he's healing people en route, and this Roman centurion approaches him. Now, I just point out that the Roman centurion clearly was not a Jew. He was a Roman in the army. He wasn't one of the Jewish people. He shouldn't have had faith in Jesus. He shouldn't have had any faith in God. He was a Roman soldier, but he had more faith than Jesus had seen in all of Israel. So the centurion's servant was sick. And Jesus said, I'm willing, I'm happy, I'll come, you know, not a problem. I'll come and lay hands on him and see him healed. But the soldier said, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that, Jesus. I know you're really busy. So just say the word. Just let me hear the word of the Lord. That's all that needs to be spoken. In other words, just speak it, Jesus. And as soon as you speak it, I'll be able to hear it. And as soon as I hear you've spoken it, I'll know it's going to happen. You just need to speak the word of the Lord. So this Roman soldier had more faith in the words of God than God's own people. And Jesus called it great faith. And it says he marveled at it. Imagine being able to make Jesus, the Son of God, so God himself, marveled at the faith of one Roman soldier who maybe even felt he didn't have the right to approach a holy man of Israel. But he did anyway. And he left Jesus speechless. He was gobsmacked. He left him speechless. I think the centurion could have, maybe we talked about last week, that he needed to be able to see what God wanted to do. But I think as a centurion went on his way and decided, this is it, my servant's really, really sick, not getting any better, getting worse, I'm going to see that man of God. I'm going to see Jesus. I hear that he raises the dead and he heals the sick, and he might even be the Son of God. I'm on my way to see him. And so I think already this centurion is picturing in his mind, I can see my servant being healed. I can see it. I can see it, Lord. I can see him rising up. It's already in his mind. When he's on his way there, he's picturing his servant getting up out of bed and walking about. He was saying, I can see the power being released from Jesus. I've heard his power is real, and now I'm going to see it. And I think if Jesus came along to that Roman centurion before he even prayed for the servant to be healed, I think if he'd asked this Roman centurion, what do you see? The soldier would have said, I can see my servant healed. And I think if Jesus asked him, what do you hear? He would have said, I hear power being released. Whoa. I hear there's power in your name, Jesus. I hear there's power in the blood of Jesus. And I can hear it being released right now. Whoa. There's power. And it's being released. He didn't need Jesus to go there. He didn't need Jesus to prove he loved him. He didn't need Jesus to jump through hoops for him. He just needed to hear the word of the Lord. Folks, you don't need Jesus to appear in person in front of you for your situation to change. You don't need him to jump through hoops for you even. You don't need him to tell you a million times, I love you, I love you, I love you. You just need to hear the word of the Lord. He's already died for us. He's already been resurrected. So have we heard his word? Are we seeing our answers in our mind? Last week, we quoted Jeremiah 1, verse 12. I am watching over my word to perform it. But are we speaking his word? Are we hearing his word? Are we seeing his word? You know, God is watching over his word, but we have to see it and hear it for him to perform it. Last week we read Matthew 12, verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in our heart will eventually flow out of our mouth. So it's crucial that we speak what we want to hear. Put a lock on your lips, you know, put a guard on your mouth, and we need to speak just what we want to hear. Ezekiel had to say to the dry bones. And God didn't say, just go up to them and say, sorry, too late, you're dead and gone, hopeless case. But he had to speak to the dry bones what God wanted to say. God will put his spirit in you, dry bones, and you're going to live. I'm going to speak life to you. I'm going to speak, dry bones, hear the word of the resurrection power of Almighty God. And only by speaking God's word will our situation change, not by speaking. It could be by not speaking, it could be one of the reasons why we're not hearing it and not seeing it. So look back on this last week or two or three or four and say, what have I spoken over my life? What have I said that God is trying to perform and maybe actually don't want that to be performed? What is it that we are saying over our own lives? Because not speaking the word of God could be the reason why we're not hearing it and not seeing it. So find a scripture that applies to your situation. Think about it over and over. Begin to create an image of it in your mind. We picture things in our mind all of the time. So it might as well be something good. It might as well be something from God and not the enemy. You know, don't picture that parking fine coming through the door. Picture that the parking attendant was in a really good mood and walked right past your car while it was parked on the double yellow line. Picture what it is we need to see for our lives and begin to create that image on the inside. Last week we said Almighty God needs us to create in our mind so he can create it in our life. He also needs us to hear the word of the Lord, so we speak it out, and that all helps God to create it. So if we want our dry bones to live, we need to let them hear God's word. So final question, what do you see when you look at your life? What do you hear? when you waken in the morning? Do you see a valley of dry bones, or do you see a vast army standing on their feet, alive and breathing and ready to perform the word of God, rising up to fulfill God's plan for their life? Do you see yourself beaten down by the situation, by the circumstances, by all the negativity you've had to go through, by all the negative reports that you've had to go to? Do you see yourself down and out on the side of on the sidelines while the army just marched past you? Then dust yourself off, stand up, speak out the word of God, start to hear it, and get back in line with the rest of the forces and march on. March on in God. You know, onward Christian soldiers, we could burst into song here again. You know, we've got two people in the back row here today that have health issue after health issue, and they've marched on. They've picked themselves up. They've prayed the word of the Lord, and they've blessed the socks off of me today by being in the back row smiling at me. Okay? We need to hear the word of the Lord. If we want that, we need to let our dry bones hear the word of the Lord. Thank you. Here's the worship team to come up.